Thankful to be in Oregon. It's been a real blessing to our hearts to be here and see all the saints again. It was an easy decision to make to come here. It seemed like the Lord worked it out. I'm not very good at making decisions sometimes, but this was an easy one to make. And I thank the Lord for everyone here and all the ones that we've met and been with. It's been a real blessing to our heart. I want to share something with you tonight, and before we start, I want you to please pray for me. The Lord would help us tonight. We need Him so much. I want you to think about tonight as there being a huge vacuum outside these doors. A huge vacuum. A vacuum so strong that it's trying every weak point in this building, trying to pull out the windows. The windows are trying to go outward. The door is trying to go swing open, and every crack in this place is strained, and there's air being sucked out of here, and we're trying to survive. We're trying to keep from being pulled out of here. We're trying because there's such a huge vacuum, and it's trying to pull us out of here. And I want you to think about your life also, and as we leave here, and what it's like in the world. There's a huge vacuum in the world. There is something that will definitely pull you away. If you've ever got close to a little vacuum nozzle, and I used to like to play with the children sometimes with that and get their clothes, you know, and pull on that. And sometimes you get a hold of their skin and pull on it, and they'd squeal and carry on. And they were, you know, afraid I was going to get sucked up in that hose or something. And the world is like that tonight. And if we look in the book of 1 Kings, we'll start reading here. And I want to say that tonight we have to be prepared for this huge vacuum that we are living in. We're living in a world that's running, not in a pressured in one sense, but the world is running in a vacuum, and it's empty and void of Christ. And there is this negative pressure is being filled by things from beneath. The negative pressure that's in people's lives, the absence of God, leaves a vacuum. And that is being filled with all kinds of things. And as the saints of God this evening, we have to be careful, because every weak point in our life, every place that has a crack in it, every place that has an emptiness or a absence of the positive things of God, is susceptible to things being drawn in that area, and that little vortex, and that little spot where we're weakest. Something will surely fill that void if we're not careful. And this evening, I believe that God has a way to build up the positive things in our life to keep that from happening. I know we've talked about stress, and there's lots of pressures in the world, but there's also the danger of the silent absence and the negative pressures that's in the world of pulling us and our spiritual life, taking it away from us. So without any further, I'd like to look in 1 Kings, the 20th chapter and the 39th verse. And it says, as the king passed by, 1 Kings 20 and 39, as the king passed by, he cried unto the king, and he said, thy servant went out into the midst of the battle. And behold, a man turned aside and brought a man unto me and said, keep this man. And if by any means he be missing, then shall thy life be for his life, or else thou shalt pay a talent of silver. And as thy servant was busy here and there, he was gone. And the king of Israel said unto him, So shall thy judgment be, thou hast decided it. And I know the rest of the story, where the man was actually someone else. He feigned himself to be just a passerby or somebody out in the stands, but he was really one of the prophets of God. And he said, he tasted, took off the ashes from his face, and the king of Israel discerned that he was one of the prophets. And he said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, because thou hast let a man go out of thy hand, a man in whom I appointed to utter destruction, therefore thy life shall go for his life, and thy people for his people. The king of Israel went to his house heavy and displeased, and came to Samaria. The thought that I had, and I would like prayer this evening, is for us to get a hold of this thought. Keep this man. Keep this man. Don't let him go. Don't get carried away in life with so many things. And it's so easy to become involved in so many things at school. So many things going on at school. So many things, activities, all kinds of things. But I want to encourage you, young people, in the midst of all that, you realize that you've got to keep this man. You've got to keep yourself. You can't let your spiritual life get away from you. You can't let things get away from you, being busy and everything and so many things going from morning till night. You've got to keep this man. It's a solemn charge. It's something that the enemy of our souls will try like a vacuum to suck your spiritual life out. He'd like to take everything out of you. He'd like to pull everything out of your life. But we've got to remember to keep this man. Keep this man. Don't let him go. Don't let him go. Get out of your sight, because this man, our spiritual life, now I'm talking about, is something valuable to us. And God wants to help us. Would you read with me in the book of Matthew, the 13th chapter of Matthew? Keep this man. Keep him. Don't let him go, because he's valuable. Your most valuable treasure in life, young people, is your soul. And take care of your soul. Nobody else is going to. You have to do it. You can't ask your mom and dad, Mom and Daddy, please take care of my soul. They can't do it for you. You're going to have to do it. You're of age. You know what's right and wrong. And you know there's times that you have to be watching and be on guard, because there's things that will slip out of your hand so easy. Slip out of your hand. 13th chapter of Matthew, the 24th verse. We'll start reading there. 13 and 24. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is like unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat, and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, there appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst thou not sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? And he said unto him, An enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, Wilt thou then we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and in the time of harvest I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles, and burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. The thought that it sticks with me this evening is while men slept. The inactivity part of life. You know, when we're not occupied with something, when there's not something positive influencing our life, there's a lot of negative things that will. There's a lot of eye-catching things. And there's a lot of subtle things. Things that you don't even think about. But they're time wasters. And they're time consumers. And those things will drain your spiritual life if you let them. We have to watch out for the negative things in life. Negative things. Things that are silently drawing us away like a magnet. You know, there's times that we need to be careful what we have in our hand. We feel something pulling on us. I felt that tug and that pull. And there's things that we just need to unload and let go of. Sometimes the tug gets so hard and we just have to say, I'm going to let it go and let it get away from me. God wants to help us today to keep this man and to watch the things while men slept, while we're in a period of inactivity. And it seemed like when I read about in the book of Timothy, he said, in the last days, perilous times shall come. Men will be lovers of their own selves. Lovers of their own selves. They'll be concerned about and thinking about mostly me. Lovers of their own selves. It's pretty self-explanatory. And if we're not careful, while men slept, the things that's so valuable, the thing that was so important, it got away from them. And be careful now. There's something here to watch out for. While we're young, it's easy to think, oh, will time, will I ever grow up? Will I ever reach that state of adulthood? And will I ever, be able to drive and be free and do all these things? Well, I'll tell you, it'll come, and it'll come all too quick. But be careful in that time that you're waiting for this big event that you think is going to be so grand that you don't lose everything you've got in the process. And I've seen that happen so many times. People, good people, and they're precious and everything, but looking at that one big event in life they think is the utopia and the very thing they're struggling and wanting to find, and they lose everything before they get there. And that's the devil's business tonight. He is out. He is out to take away everything precious that we have. I want to tell you tonight, guard yourself. Be careful with what you let in your life, because there's a lot of things that are out there subtly looking and trying to draw from you and take away from you. While men slept, that vacuum, the vacuum that was there, the inactivity, the part that they weren't engaged in something. I'm going to tell you where a lot of backslidings come from. And it's because men sleep. It's because of inactivity. It's because we begin to look around at others and see all the faults and failures in others, and pretty soon we ourselves have dropped the torch and we ourselves have stopped doing what God wants us to do. In that period of inactivity, the devil sweeps right in and he takes away anything that he can. I've seen it happen time and time again in people's lives. He'll steal everything that he can from you. Be careful that we keep ourselves engaged in a healthy work for God and doing something beyond this pulpit and beyond. You know, it's something that keeps me going and it keeps me pursuing and desiring more of God and how I can help my fellow man. I tell you, folks, this evening we've got to watch these little cracks in our lives and little things that get in, because they're time robbers, wasters, they'll sap away our spiritual life from us if we're not careful. Oh, just to get around and become inactive. While men slept, it's a period of inactivity. We're in a time in the world now where there is a lot of things people are wondering what to do. What am I going to do? How am I going to do it? I tell you, it takes preparedness. Be prepared. And being prepared is not something easy. And sometimes you think like Noah, what in the world? People are thinking, are you doing building this ugly looking thing? Have you ever thought how ugly that boat was? It wasn't fiberglass. It wasn't painted. This thing was ugly. I'm not saying anything about God, His design. That thing, I couldn't have designed something like that. I mean, it was not, but it was raw wood and it was put together in such a, you look down one side, that's so big. Why'd you make it so tall? And what's all this, what's all these things on there? I couldn't have designed it. But I tell you, the Creator was looking beyond just, and possibly He had in mind, these people are going to be so, they are going to think that is such an eyesore. It's going to turn a lot of them away. Oh, it's not very beautiful. But I'm going to tell you, when that thing started to float and the rain was coming down and the fountains of the deep were broken up, that was the most beautiful thing around, because it was the only thing floating. God designed something and He puts it in there and He makes it right. He makes it to endure. Might not always be the best thing that you've seen around, but I tell you, whenever it comes to the test and that thing started lifting up and had all the weight of all those animals and everything in there, is a beautiful sight. It wasn't tipping over, and I designed it. I'm afraid I would have overloaded one side and it had a list to it. But I believe when God designed, He put everything in there and everything fit, and it was all perfect. And that thing rose up off of the ground, and it wasn't just tossing back. It was just standing, and it was going up and higher and higher and higher. And all these people was on there, and they were safe. When God puts something together, folks, it works. And take care, because there are so many things that's happening in our world today. If we're not careful, we're going to say, oh, there's really, I just don't know how to be prepared. I don't know what to do. Well, I'm going to tell you, this gives us an idea. While men slept, the enemy was working. And with that thought in mind, it tells me I need to be careful and engage myself in something, because I'm looking at things that could happen. I'm thinking about different things that can happen around in our communities and things we've seen. We've seen natural disasters and we've seen man-made disasters, all kinds of things. I want to tell you, be prepared. Preparation is such a wonderful thing. I don't feel like sometimes we're prepared enough. Prepared. And Lord, help us to keep our minds busy, keep active, and not become lax in our spiritual life. Could we look over in the book of Matthew again, 43, and we'll the 12th chapter and 43 through 45. And here's another picture of the great vacuum that I'm talking about tonight. When the unclean spirit, 12 and 43 of Matthew, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. He saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out, and when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be unto this wicked generation. It's a wonderful thing when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, and when there's a deliverance, and when we see that God has cleaned a person up. And it's wonderful to have the unclean spirit gone out of that person. But he said what happened is when that unclean spirit went out, they was looking on the inside and said, I'm going to go back. I'm going to go back and I'm going to get seven other people with me, or seven other spirits with me. We're going to go back and we're going to overtake that house. I think what the Lord is trying to say here is keep the house full. Yes. Seek the Holy Spirit. Yes. Ask Him to come into your life. Ask Him to help you and give you things that you haven't thought of before. Ask Him to come into your life and furnish the house. Yes. Furnish the house. Don't leave it empty, swept, and just clean. But furnish the house. Keep it filled up. And there's less like chances of the enemy taking over those vacant places. Vacancies. There's lots of vacancies in people's hearts. Lots of vacancies. And God wants to tell us, He wants to help us tonight to see those vacancies are not good. They're going to be taken up quickly if you don't go in and fill the house. If you're not careful now, what's going to happen? The old man is going to come back, and he's going to try to come back and give you a taste of some of that old life. And he's going to come back and say to you, you know, you could do a little bit of this and that. And he's going to tempt us. And folks, I want to tell you tonight, here's the critical part. the vacuum. We've got to fill the house with something positive. Get something inside that we'll be able to push pressures against the outside and fill all the cracks and things coming in. Sometimes I think we don't see how subtle Satan works. He works so subtle in bringing things in and just occupying too much of our time. The book of Peter, the second chapter, 2 Peter, the second chapter in the 8th verse, I want to read something to you about a man that was in a place where it was very negatively charged. Remember those negative charged things. There's this, in the absence of oxygen and in a vacuum, there's a lot of things that happen. Electricity, it can flow different. It affects a lot of the when things are in a vacuum, there can just be a lot of things that happen inside. There's a lot of attractions in the world as it's in a vacuum. There's so many things out there, and it looks nice to behold. Be careful. Those things have a way of entering into our heart. We must be on guard. And this is what happened to a man that was living in a place where there was a great vacuum. The 8th verse, I'll read the 7th verse, 2 Peter 2 and 7. Let me go up here a little bit further. The 4th verse. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them in the chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the 8th person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in a flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. Lot, a righteous man, dwelling in a place that was taking away all spiritual, there was very little spiritual life left. And it said here that he vexed his soul. Every day he looked out and he saw things going on. Not only did he see them, but he heard them. He heard the cries of the young children. And things, they were being abused. And things were happening. He heard all those things. And he'd go, oh God, have mercy. And he'd maybe take off running down the road. Oh no, that surely they're not doing that to those children. Surely that's not happening to them little babies. No, no. His soul was vexed. His soul was vexed. You have to understand. Can you imagine living in that time where there was sin was unloosed? And it was everywhere you turned, every corner, something advertising, something. You look around here and, oh, this was on display. And you go over here and that was on. And you see all these things and you thought, oh, Lord, have mercy. What are they advertising? How come this is out in the open? Can it be that, why are they advertising? How come these people are doing all this? His soul was vexed. Don't you understand? He was living in a place, his righteous soul was vexed. Don't you think we feel the same way today? Don't you think we look around and see things that are going on and think, why are they publicly, why is that going on? And you listen to radio and talk radio, it's desensitizing America. We hear so many things, and 30 years ago, you didn't even hear about that talk, that kind of talk on the radio. It wasn't even there, but it is now, and it's commonplace. Our soul is being vexed, and listen, the vacuum
the emptiness of mankind. Their empty hearts are being filled with all these temporary pleasures. They're fleeting things. They're fleeting things, but it's filling people's minds. And people are so satisfied just being entertained all the time. Just have to have entertainment. Just have to listen to something all the time to be entertained. And get a laugh here and a laugh there. A joke over here, something over there. I'm telling you, our world is in this huge vacuum, and the enemy is taking spiritual life out of everyone. Lot was vexed. This was a long time ago. His righteous soul was vexed from day to day, and finally the angel of the Lord had to come in that wicked city, and he got him by the hand. He said, "Up, get you out of this place." And he paused and said, "Well, let me go over here." They let him go, and he talked to some of his sons-in-law, and he told them, he said, "God's going to destroy this place," and they mocked him. They mocked him. "Oh, you don't know what you're talking about. You are so out of touch. You don't know anything. I'm sorry, Dad. We're not... Go on home. Go on. We don't have no time for that." They watched him walk away, and he lingered. The Scripture said he lingered. Why did he linger? He's human. You've been living there for years. You've been around those people for years. That's your neighbors. That's close associates. You're lingering there now. And you're looking around, and all of a sudden, you're just thinking, "I wonder what's going to happen." And the angel of the Lord just finally got him and said, "Up, get you out of here." And got him on his way. And his wife turned around and looked back. One more glimpse. If I could just see home once more. And she turned into a pillar of salt. Just one more look. Just one more glance was all it took. And she was gone. She was froze. She was a pillar of salt. She was gone. I had a friend that had trouble with alcohol, and he was driving a car, killed somebody, ended up in McAllister Penitentiary. Some guys attacked him, and he was in a position of defense, dead. They found him. I wonder what she looked like. I wonder what she looked like. Maybe it was a pose like this. I don't know. But she was a reminder to us today. Don't look back. We heard something about standing. We heard something about that. And listen, God wants to help us tonight, but I'm telling you, we're in a time where each of us are going to have to be accountable for our own self. Amen. Yes. Do you know the Scripture talks about these three men? Yes. They were in an evil time, and it said that Noah and who was the other? Though these three men said they would but deliver their own souls. Somebody help me there. But I'm going to tell you, we're not going to give account for a mom or dad or children. We're going to give account for ourselves. Three righteous men were not able to do anything but save their own selves. That's the same way with us. Brethren, we're going to have to run. We're living in a time that the world is pulling, and it's a vacuum. We need to seal all the spots in our heart, anything that's reaching out for something, we need to seal that off and ask God to help us tonight. Help us. We're in a terrible time. We're in a time that these are times that try men's souls. They're times that are very difficult, and we have to ask God. Lot here, his righteous soul was vexed from day to day. We're going to have to be careful, folks. Otherwise, we're going to be sucked out. 1 John 2:15 says this: "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. We have to be careful. The love of the world and things can be just like Lot's wife and her. Looking back, it can cause us to spend too much time looking around for things. And people are wanting something to satisfy their soul and wanting it like a fast food restaurant. I drive up the window, drive up and roll down the window, and I want a number one. Give me a number one. Yeah, and I want this on there, an extra. And then we drive up, pay for it, and go off. But, you know, we've got to be people that we're consistent and we keep digging. Yeah. People that keep digging, they don't stop. You know, they dig and they keep digging. They say an old Wolverine, you can get after him, and if he's got very soft dirt, he can keep away from you. He can dig faster than you can dig and get down in there and get away from you. We need to be like an old Wolverine. We need to keep digging and keep going because we're being pursued. We're being pursued. Lot was being pursued, and if it wasn't for the angel of the Lord, he would have lost his life. The book of Matthew 24 and 12, it tells us here that we need to be very careful. 24 and 12 of Matthew, it tells us in the times we're living in to be careful because the love of many will wax cold. The love of many will wax cold. And that takes a time for that to happen. But it is nevertheless something we have to watch out for. Whenever iniquity abounds, it said here, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. When that coldness seeps in, there's the absence of heat. When there's coldness, it's things contract. When they contract and something gets smaller, that pulls in other things. When there's the heat, it expands and drives things out. But the coldness brings things in. Because iniquity abounds, the love of many would wax cold. Let us watch this evening this vacuum, a silent killer. Something very subtle, and it'll take away our spiritual life. Luke 1 and 53 tells us this. Talks about people being turned away empty. The book of Luke 1 and 53 says, He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich He hath sent empty away. The spiritual fullness of those that are hungry. The fullness. He said He's filled the hungry with good things, and the rich He has sent empty away. Terrible thing, isn't it? It's pitiful. But those that are full of themselves have very little for God. Those that are hungry for spiritual things, He said He filled the hungry, but He sent the rich away. They had plenty. They had all they could possibly want. They didn't really need anything, didn't feel a need of it. I see that so much, don't really feel a need of it. So therefore, if I'm full, I don't... Go on. We'll go to somebody. You know, I really don't have time for that anyway. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Having God in our life and having Him filling up those vacancies and gaps and smoothing out the rough places, godliness with contentment is great gain. 11 and 21 of Luke. Let's look here just a moment. I'm almost through. 11 and 21 of Luke. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusted and divideth his spoils.
there's a strong man that's out after us, folks. There's someone, there's something. The spirit of the devil is out to take away the love out of our marriages, the love out of our homes. He's out to divide. He's out to conquer us. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. A strong man. I think about this evening of keeping our palace and keeping our heart and guarding things and not letting things just come in. And we feel the, when you feel the vacuum, seal it up. You can feel that thing. You feel stuff coming in. Seal it up. Seal it up. You know, we would be alarmed if we started seeing these windows start bulging outward. We saw one of them break and one of the little children just... We heard of that in that storm in Joplin, a lady clinging to her baby. It was taken out of her arms. Terrible thought to think of, but it's something. There's a hole. There's a little hole. And you get too near that. And all of a sudden, their clothes and their hair and everything, and they can't stand up. And all of a sudden, they're gone. We're shocked. We want to put that, tear that chair up and put it over there against that wall. We don't want anybody else to. You children, stay. I don't want to scare you, but we don't have to worry about that happening here. So I'm not trying to scare you, but just the thought of losing some of our children, our young people, you know, think, oh my, don't get so close over there. It's going to get you. And all of a sudden, it's like they can't stop, and they're gone. Terrible things that happened when I was a boy. There'd come a big rain, and there was a swollen area down by our house, and there was this open, a manhole had come off, the cover had come off of this manhole, and this water was, 3 or 4 feet high, and that manhole popped off, and it was like this whirlpool. And we was down there playing and didn't realize how dangerous it was. And my brother got too close to that thing. It was so, it was quiet. It was making this suction noise, and it was going around and around. We thought, what is that? And he got close over there. We kind of swam over there by it. And all of a sudden, that thing took him around. And I remember, we didn't even know nothing of the dangers of it. And my oldest brother got him by the hand and pulled him out of that. He would have been sucked under it and would have been gone. He would have drowned in so quick a time. Oh, may the Lord help us this evening. Don't let your love wax cold. Don't let iniquity abound. And don't let the pressures and negative things of the world take you away. Keep the man. Keep this person you've given. God's given us a charge. Keep this. Keep our soul. Keep it, because it's going to get away from us if we don't. I wrote down a few things here. The Pharisees know all and have nothing. The prodigal son spent all that he had. He had nothing. Samson lost all that he had, and he had everything. The rich have all, and they don't have anything. Be careful this evening what you have. Be careful what you think you have. It can be taken away so quick. Remember, knowledge puffeth up. Knowledge puffeth up. Makes you think you're somebody you're really not. Knowledge puffs up. Charity edifies. God help us this evening to have the love of God in our heart, to be careful to keep this man through humility, through prayer, through watching and praying and being careful. Know the atmosphere you're in. You know, there's readings that you can get the barometric pressure, and it'll tell you when a storm is coming. There's certain signals. The barometric pressure changes. Know where you're at spiritually. Yeah. Know where you're at. The Bible tells us to know ourselves, not to deceive ourselves and thinking I'm somebody when I'm really nothing.
I'm really thinking that I'm very capable and I can do all these things, but really I'm nothing. Be careful that that doesn't trip us up and cause us spiritual ailments. I've seen it happen so many times of getting puffed up and getting over confident in ourselves. Oh yeah, I can handle that, and things get way out of hand for us. And we step off in something we didn't know, have any idea that it was going to be that long, that difficult, that hard of a thing. Be careful. Watch and pray. Watch and pray. Jesus said, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Be careful, because our weakness can destroy us. And thinking we're somebody when we're really nobody can cause us to get pulled right out the window. I want to tell you, I don't want to see one person lost. I think about these two little boys that drowned there in the river, and they called and said they needed somebody. They need a chaplain. Somebody come there. The family was there. And this man that tried to reach down and help this little boy, 8-year-old, he said, I could still see that boy looking up at me in that dark water. And he was reaching up like this, and that boy got away from him. And he went in the water, and he went down the river about a mile. They were turning so much water loose there at the dam and running. It was so swift and foaming, and I don't know how many million cubic feet was coming out of there, but it just swept them. Two little brothers drowned there. Oh, how terrible. It just took them away. It took them away, and they was gone. It didn't last so very long at all. And the poor mother, I felt so sorry for them. My heart went out to them. They had to tell her, you know, we found your children. She just collapsed. Oh, today, this evening, it hurts us when we hear just one little person that gets discouraged and leaves. It hurts us. Our hearts, we bleed. And we think, what could have I done? What could I have said? How could I have helped them to make it? What could I have done different? We don't want to see anyone lost. We want to see everyone make it. We got to beware this great vacuum that's trying to pull us away. It's so strong. None of us. I can't make it my own strength. I'm telling you, it's too great for me. I'll be carried. It'll sweep me. I'm no match. It's only through Christ that we can stand. It's only through Him that we can make it. I'm so thankful the Scripture says, greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. It tells me that there is a positive, there is a wonderful saving, keeping grace that can help us to make it in this wicked world. It's only through God. It's not any strength of our own, not by power, not by might, but it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. We can make it by the grace of God. Let us pray for each other this evening. If we're feeling ourselves being pulled out, and you might feel like I'm just about halfway out, and I can just feel this rush of things, and I'm struggling, I'm holding on, but I feel this, my feet are standing straight out, and I feel my clothes just being pulled, and I don't know what to do. Hold on to God. Keep holding on to Jesus. He'll help us to make it through. He'll keep us in the hour of temptation. He'll help us in all of our needs. I believe He will. If we'll trust Him, He'll do that for us. Keep the man. Don't get so busy that we let Him get away from us. That we let Him get away. There's in our grasp the ability with God's help to keep the man. Don't let Him get away. Don't go to sleep. And spiritually speaking, don't get too close to the places when you hear that whistling and you hear that noise of a negative something. You know, it's kind of enticing. Hey, what's going on? What did Eve do? She heard that. She got over there and listened, and here's the devil down there. Surely it's okay to eat that fruit. It's all right. It's pleasant to the eyes. Nothing wrong with it. It's good to eat. Here, taste it. Oh, be careful of getting so close that we get pulled away. May the Lord bless us tonight. If we could sing a song. Someone has a need in their life. I know the Lord this evening. If you feel like you're just a little bit too close and there's just something tugging at you, let's pray and seek God. Who knows? Who knows how close we all really are to some things that would be very difficult for us to make it. So may God bless us tonight. Let's seek the Lord. Amen.